extend greetings to you all in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be back with you again this morning. Real blessed trip this week to Cuba and Mexico, and just bring greetings from the brethren there. And it was just had a real good meeting with the brethren. So had nice communion together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us clarity of mind and wisdom, Father, as we speak the mystery of the gospel of Christ, Father. And Lord, we just thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel. It is a spiritual mystery. He that has ears to hear can hear it, and he that has not ears to hear can't hear it. There's an awakening that we don't know when it happens or how it happens. We can see when, but we don't know how it happens. But people can live their lives and just go through life, and then one day they accept God's call upon their life and their heart, and they hear it and they begin to listen, and their eyes are open and the scales fall off, and they begin to see and they begin to think, what have I been doing? And it's just a real blessing whenever that, to see that happen and to see the reality of what the gospel of Christ is about. What I want to talk about this morning is the message of the kingdom as it relates to sin. We just sang this song, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." And it puts a big focus upon the Pharisees and the woman that was committing an had been caught in the act of adultery. And Christ didn't condemn her. In the world, that message is taken as that God is just merciful and He'll just overlook all the bad things we do. He just forgives us and we just go on. And that's the way it's taken. That it doesn't have to be a change of choice in our life. If we sin, God will just forgive us and we just go on. And then there's the message of the Pharisees, which is a very strict, hard message and live a very straight life and just really criticize those who don't live the way you do. And both of those are of the world. Just the idea of the world is this system that we live under. In this system that we live under, there are good people and there are bad people. There are rich people, there are poor people. There are nice people, and there are mean people. And there's religious people, and there's atheist. But it's still all in the same system. And so many people that are religious will look out and see those that aren't religious, and they see that they're living a cleaner life than the people on the outside. And so they are exalted and they think, well, we're doing better than the rest of the people. And so they call those that are living on the outside or committing evil acts as sinners. And sin is, to them, whenever you don't follow the laws or the rules that are laid down. And that's what the world considers sin. So that people all over the world can come to church and hear messages about those bad sinners out there that are not doing like we are doing. They're still out in the world. They're still doing everything they want to do. And that's just sin. because they're doing bad things. Sometimes the churches even get so strict that would say that if you're wearing a red shirt, that would be worldly and that would be sinful. What I'm telling you is that that is not the world. The world is the system of this world, good or bad, religious or not. That's the system of this world. It's not worldly to do certain things sometimes. It's worldly whenever we are in the system of the world. The world is what crucified Christ. It was the world that crucified Christ. And that world included Roman soldiers who were very wicked. The Roman government that was very wicked. And it also included the religious power of the day that lived very clean lives. I believe the Pharisees lived godly lives. I don't believe they were just devils running around just doing everything that they could and hating people. I believe they were people who were living good lives and godly lives. But they were also still a part of the world system. Sin is not just doing bad things. The bad things that we do are the fruit of sin. That's where sin comes from. And it manifests itself in the things that we do. There's sinners who are very self-destructive. They go out and they do drugs and they get drunk and they chase women and they stay out and carouse all night and they do all the things that the world can give them to feed their flesh. That's a self-destructive life. And then on the other hand, you have people who might have been a part of that crowd one time and they realize that this is the wrong path to lead. And so they turn from that path and they turn to living a very self-preserving life. And they begin to live very clean. And they join the other group that's trying to preserve themselves. And they'll even try to make plans so that when they die, they can go to heaven because they want to preserve themselves. And they want to preserve the things in this world. And so they get a nice house and they get everything that they can just to preserve everything. And they try to guard it and protect it. And they have the government to help them. And the government tries to guard and protect those people who are trying to protect themselves from those who are self-destructive. But the focus is still on one thing. Self. Whether you're self-preserving or whether you're self-destructive, you're still all about yourself. That is the heart of sin. Whenever you're self-preserving, that preserving self manifests itself in covetousness and greed and desire and self-protection and going against other people who are going to take something away from you, taking them to court and suing them and trying to protect yourself from those bad people who are trying to take it from you, who are trying to destroy themselves and try to gain everything they can, any way they can. Both of those are the fruit of the real problem. Man has chosen his own way and separated himself from God. That's sin. That is the sin. It's not just breaking these rules. Those rules being broken are the fruit of sin. The reason the law came to bring man, to govern man, was to govern himself so that this fruit just wouldn't be allowed to run wild. This fruit was trying to be curbed by laws and by government or by churches or by anything that tries to control man so that his fruit just didn't pop out all over, his sinful fruit. But the root of the fruit is that men want their own way, whether self-preserving or self-destructing. And when man chooses his own way, he becomes a part of the kingdom of this world, which is against God. And as they begin to get together and men become more and more powerful amongst each other, they begin to establish governments. Not only national governments, but governments in churches and governments in local communities. And they begin to bring their power together so that they can preserve themselves against those who don't want to preserve themselves. But it's all the same system. It's all the world. And that is sin. That's why Jesus said not to love the world. That's why James said that this world is the enemy of God. And if you're the friend of this world, you are the enemy of God. God's enemy is the world and this system. When man yielded himself to Satan, the king of this world or the prince of this world, man became under his control. He denied God and turned away from Him. That's the dangerous thing that men are laboring under all over this world. They are in the kingdom of Satan, and many feel themselves very safe and secure because they're not doing bad things or as bad as someone else. And so they feel security. They feel like, I'm a good person. I'm doing good things. I help people. You know, there's people that give a lot of their money. They give a lot of their time to help people. But they're still a part of the kingdom of this world. They're very, very good, nice people. As we see them. They're very friendly. They're very kind. They're even good to us. And good to everyone. But yet, they still are in the kingdom of this world. We've got the idea that we're programmed with the idea that sin is just doing a bad thing. That is just fruit of sin. This world is against God. This world serves Satan as his master. People don't like to accept that. But until they realize that they are apart from God, they're in danger. And they don't even know it. That's our message, is to warn this world that they, no matter how good or how nice or how evil, are in the kingdom of this world. And this world is in danger of the judgment of God. Many people say, well, I don't do all those bad things and I'm living a nice, clean life. And they may not have bad thoughts to want to kill someone. They might not do a lot of things that we look with that would look sinful. But yet, they ignore the teachings of Christ. They do a lot of nice things to appear nice and to even be nice with the world. Jesus said, if you love those that love you, what good have you done? Sinners do the same thing. The world is good to the world. They love themselves. They love themselves. They're a part of it. That's their kingdom. This is their world. They're trying to make it a better place. Christ called us out of this world to serve Him. Romans chapter 6. verse 11, it says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." There's two paths there. Sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. There's not an in-between, a just nice people. And whenever it talks about righteousness and sin, again, I am not talking about some people do bad things and some people do good things. I'm talking about two distinct kingdoms. One is the kingdom of this world, and one is the kingdom of God. And righteousness is doing the things that are in the kingdom of God. And sin is doing the things that are in the kingdom of the world. Not just doing bad things in the world and somebody doing good things in the world. Those are the same. You can be as religious as you want to be in this world and still be a partaker of this world system. You can live as pure as you want to in this world. And you have that choice. There's men who live very holy. When I say holy, I mean pure and clean, upstanding lives. But it's in this world. The kingdom of God is a message that denies ourselves, not just so that we can exalt ourselves, but it denies ourselves and lives for Christ. We return back to what we were created to in the first place. Verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are." To whom ye obey. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, took a bite of an apple or a piece of fruit. He took a bite of a piece of fruit. Did he commit adultery? Did he go out and get drunk? Did he murder anybody? Did he do any of those things that we would think are bad sinners that do those things? No. He chose to yield himself to the king of this world instead of the king of righteousness. Instead of obeying and continuing in fellowship with God, he made one simple little choice and said, "I'm going to listen to Satan instead of God." And when he did that, man became the servant of Satan. Man was created as a servant of God. Man made this choice, and he still has the choice to repent. And because Christ died, he can be set free from Satan's bondage. But he chose to disobey, and he brought sin and death upon the whole world at that time. Because the control of this world, just the light went out and darkness flooded in. And man's eyes were blinded. They couldn't see God clearly. They couldn't hear Him clearly. It was overshadowed. And there was a cloud upon man. And his mind couldn't think and see and hear God anymore. He could only follow the natural things of the flesh. Because God's voice was drowned out. It was shut out. God was still speaking. And men could try to hear. But they didn't want to anymore. It wasn't until, I think it was Enoch that, or Enos, or no, what's his name? That walked with God.
Enoch,
yes. It was Enoch that after seven generations, and Enoch walked with God. He sought that voice that was still there, alive in his heart. And he looked after those things that were away from this world. He listened to the grace of God that was speaking to him to deny himself, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live righteously and soberly and godly. And he sought after those things so that he could find what was there and what he knew was right. And he pursued it. Man has yielded himself to the king of this world. And when they've become that servant, there's people laboring today thinking that they're Christians. But they do not hear the kingdom of God. They're not a part of the kingdom of God. They're still a part of a worldly system. They're still a part of a denomination that controls and does acts just like all the rest of the denominations. They're still a part of dividing themselves. Even among themselves. We talked with a bishop this week that had excommunicated some men. And when we talked to him, he said, oh, they'll still go to heaven. They're just causing division. And we said, well, your church, I know that the group of churches that your church represents, I know of cities where there are 10 different splinters of the denomination. And none of them will commune together. He said, there's one church. There's one baptism. There's one faith. I said, okay, why in this place, well, these are 10 different groups of people doing, practicing just a little bit of difference. And you would call them brothers, but yet you won't commune with them. Why don't all 10 of those groups come together and commune together when it's time to commune, if you're together? The faith, the church, is one body. And anybody walking in that kingdom is part of that kingdom. And when you're causing divisions and strife, are you a part of the world or are you a part of the kingdom of God? The systems that are in this world are man-made. And man's system is underneath the system of this world. You might be governing the fruit that's there. Or you might be really guarding and protecting the fruit that might pop out once in a while and really come down hard on it. But you're still having to govern it, just like people have to govern car thieves. God is looking for men who will govern themselves according to Christ's teachings. And when a man will govern himself according to Christ, he doesn't need a bunch of rules to keep him in order. Because his conscience and his life is living for one thing, and that's to be living for Christ and His kingdom. He's lost himself. He's lost his life. That's why so many people that are under all these regulations and different things, when they leave it, they have no strength to stand on their own, and they just fall fast. Right out into doing things they never dreamed they would do. I did that. When I was growing up, I was just governed. And I was governed because I needed to be governed. And it was a good thing because I was not under the control of Christ. I was still in the world system. And the world system has to govern its own. And that is ordained of God. And whenever I left that government, I did things I never dreamed I would ever do. And whenever I changed kingdoms and repented, I didn't need that government anymore. I wanted to live for Christ. I wanted to live for His kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. To whom you yield yourselves servants, His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is not talking about just not doing one bad thing here or one bad thing over here. This is talking about who you yield your life to. Do you yield your life to the kingdom of Christ? Or do you yield your life to the kingdom of this world? That's what sin is. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See, people have made a distinction and given power to sin. Way too much power to sin. Oh, we can't live right in this earth. They make excuses. But God gives the same power to those who will live righteously as He does to those who would live sinfully. They have the same ability to go either way. It just depends on whom they yield their lives to. The Bible even goes on to say that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and iniquity, even so now yield yourselves servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of yielding yourself to Satan and this world and this system and this kingdom of this world is death. But yielding yourself to Christ's kingdom is life. If we'll take that path. Satan has become the master of this world. Satan is the king of this world. Whenever Christ came into this world, He came to deliver us from Satan's kingdom. He came to deliver us from those things that are in the kingdom of this world. He came to set us free from those things. This is where the evangelical gospel really just takes the kingdom and turns it into nothing more but a self-preserving gospel. The evangelical gospel teaches that when Christ came into this world, He came because God could not forgive sins. That God was angry with man. And that His justice demanded that only someone holy be given as a sacrifice so that God could forgive and accept man back again. And so that when Christ came into this world, whenever He was hanging on the cross, God was happy at the punishment that was being laid on His Son, and so that He could forgive us. And so God's mind was changed so that he wasn't angry at man anymore, and now he could forgive man and receive him again because his righteousness was satisfied. That pits God and Christ against each other. That means God or Christ was compassionate and God was angry and he couldn't forgive him. That makes them two different gods. That doesn't fit. So that when God's mind was changed towards man, then man could be received so that man doesn't have to change. That's the problem with that gospel. And I know there's some people that have found that gospel and kept pressing on and learned to hear God. But it's in spite of that gospel and not because of it. The message of the kingdom that's called the sacrificial atonement model. And that's what this world all understands and knows. But the gospel of the kingdom of God was a gospel where Christ and God had created man. And they had given man, they loved him enough, not just to create a robot, but to create someone who had a choice in the way they lived. And the choice in who they served. And you have that choice. And you still have that choice. You didn't lose that when Adam sinned. You just were thrown into a kingdom where God was silenced. We didn't want to hear Him anymore because we chose to walk after the flesh. And Christ and God had created man and put him in this place. And man chose to follow Satan. He chose to reject God and submit himself to a new master. Just like it says in Romans, to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, His servants you are. Man became a servant of Satan. And all men became under his control. They were bound by him. They became under the sentence of death. And so when man dies, they go to Satan. Because he holds their title, as it was. He owns man now because man has freely yielded his will to him. Man has become Satan's. And God, this is where his justice is. He said, if you do this, you'll die. And they did. He says, if you choose that way, you can have it. And they did. He said, if you want to follow that master, you're free to do it. I'm not going to take you out of there. You can choose your path, whatever path you want, and God loves you enough to let you do it. Man chose to follow Satan and become a servant, a slave of Satan, and damned to death to live with Satan wherever he goes forever. The Bible says that God was not willing that any should perish. He wanted them to choose himself and to be in his life. But man chose to follow Satan. And so they get what Satan gets. He's disappointed. And he is angry because they've made choices that follow the devil. He hates sin. But he also loves us enough that he said, those that would choose to follow me, I'm going to open a way so that they can escape Satan's bondage. There is no way out of hell except for Christ. And I'm not just talking because Christ died. Whenever Christ came into this world, He came to bring the world the kingdom of God. He came to teach the kingdom of God. And He did good to all men. But God and the world are enemies. And so when Satan came, or when Christ came into this world, Satan came to Christ and he tried to tempt him. And he tempted him in, he had fasted for 40 days and he tempted him. And Jesus never yielded to Satan. Not even to the point of he could have turned a piece of stone into a piece of bread because he hadn't eaten in 40 days. He could have, Satan offered him the whole kingdom, the whole realm. You can have them all back if you will just obey me one time. To whom you yield yourselves members to obey, his servant you are. Jesus did not yield to Satan. He yielded himself to God. And so he kept on teaching the kingdom message and the world hated him. It was the system of the world, the religious systems, the worldly systems, the people of the world. Oh, they loved what he did for them, but they didn't want his kingdom. And so this world rose up against its creator and killed him. He loved them so much and was so good to them that they killed him. Jesus went through the door of death, which is the only way to enter into Satan's kingdom, Hades. Because Jesus had died, he was able to pass through that portal of death. And when Satan came to him, just like every other soul that had ever passed through that portal of death, Satan took him and he said, "You're mine forever." But when Jesus came through that portal of death, Jesus had not yielded to Satan. He had overcame him. And so that when Jesus tried to take him, he had no claim on his life. He had no power over him. Jesus was victorious over him. And so Jesus went through his kingdom and preached to the captives, like it says in Peter. And he led captivity captives. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where Jesus said that the rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. He said Lazarus died and the angels took him to Abraham's bosom. They were both in hell. But there was a big gap between them. One was full of torment and punishment, but one was a little refuge of safety of God's promises to Abraham. And he went to that little refuge of safety in Abraham's bosom, where he was protected. He was still in captivity, and if Christ wouldn't have came, he would have lost himself. They would have all been lost, just with everyone else. But they were protected because of God's promises. And so that when Christ came, went down into hell, he preached. And those who were in this bosom of protection of Abraham's promises, the righteous before, heard his voice. And they flowed out with him. And they rose from death. They rose from Satan's dominion. He ransacked the kingdom of Satan and he overcame it and rose triumphantly from the dead because Satan had no power on him. And he took those who were willing to hear him up until that point and they came with him. That's why it says in the book of one of the books in the Gospels that there were people who had risen from the dead. Others besides Christ. Satan's kingdom had been ransacked and the people were liberated and some of them even rose back to this earth for a while. And they were set free from Satan's bondage. And so that man if he would hear the kingdom of God and repent and turn from this world, we also can be delivered from this world. This world is our enemy. This is the battleground. Christ is not against us. God is not against us. He's for us. And if we will rebel against the kingdom of this world, if we will betray the kingdom of this world and flee to where we belong with God, God has provided a way for us to be with Him again. This life is a journey. You're not saved and then just go off to heaven when you die because you accepted Him one time. You're saved from this world and its systems. And if you continue on the straight path that will lead you to life, if you keep pressing on, you'll make your destination. Christ has promised that if we will walk this way in this world and live this life in this world, that we'll separate ourselves from this world and follow Him, that He will receive us. The Bible says that Christ is an advocate with the Father. I was taught all my life that Christ was up there and God was angry with us. Oh, I'm gonna throw them away. And Christ said, No, I died for them. Don't do that. I died for them. So you can forgive them. I took their punishment. You can forgive them. Is that right? That's what I was taught all of my life. So that God was angry and Christ was the lawyer arguing with God over us. They were against each other. That didn't set very well for a Trinity to be against each other. The Bible says that Christ was our advocate with the Father. Satan is the accuser, not God. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one saying, "Hup, there they sinned." And Jesus said, "Yep, but they got right back up and they're still on my path. Me and God are together on this and they're following me." You step off that path and you begin to listen to Satan and you keep walking in Satan and you keep listening to him. You allow your lust to entice you and draw you away. It'll draw you off the path and Satan says, "One more little skip. Got them. They're mine now." And you're his. You yielded back to the world system. And when he gets a hold, you're right back under his spell. And maybe one day, you might get another chance. Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe if you do. I've saw people, and I mean their eyes are opened. They see the kingdom of Satan. They see the kingdom of God. And they see it clearly. And they know there's a choice that they have to make. And they wrestle with this choice. And eventually they just get tired of fighting and they yield back to the world. The lights go out, the cares, the alarms are off, and they just live their lives the way they did before, not even remembering the trouble they were in whenever their eyes were opened. We are at war. That's why Jesus said, "Watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. We're in a battle." And to whoever you yield yourself is whose fruit you're going to produce. Whether of sin unto death, or of righteousness unto life. This is the gospel of Christ. Christ came in behalf of God to rescue men from Satan and this kingdom. And He overcame it by living holy, by not yielding to Satan, but yielding Himself to God. And so He was able to go into Satan's kingdom, take the keys of death and hell from him, lead those who had been faithful in the Old Testament before out with him, and a promise of the kingdom of God now to those who would accept it and follow it and separate from the kingdom of this world. Sin is not just about doing good things or bad things. Sin to God is who you yield yourself to. You have a choice to follow Christ or to follow Satan. And God's only option for you, there's good and there's evil, black, white. God's own light, darkness. God's only option for you is to walk in the light as He is in the light, so that you can be accepted by Him, so that you can go to be with Him. But if you won't fit, you go to the trash can of hell. Gave an example. If you had a, let's just use a telephone. Everybody knows what a cell phone is. If you created a cell phone and you created it for yourself, and you created it to do what you wanted it to do, so that you dial in a number and you say, I want to talk to Brother Leroy. So you dial that number in, and Kevin answers the phone. Well, this thing ain't doing what I created it to do. So you try it again. Try to call someone else. And here it goes somewhere else. It just don't work. It doesn't do what it was created to do. It's got a mind of its own, and it chose just to ignore what I created it to do and do its own thing. You might try it several times. Then you know what you wind up doing with it? Goes to the fire. Goes to the trash can because it doesn't do what it was supposed to do. There's no other place to do it. You don't need it anymore. It's a piece of junk. And that's what people are that refuse to yield to their Creator, to God. God didn't make junk. But if you choose to follow this world, you become junk. And if you refuse to repent, you are junk to God. And you will find your place in hell. Because that's where junk goes. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would repent. Forsake the kingdom of this world. This world, no matter how comfortable, no matter how pleasant you may make it, is a dangerous, dangerous place. And if you choose to relax and take it easy here, you're in great danger. If you choose to make your kingdom here, you're in danger. You're in danger. That's the message that we have to the world. That's why we teach about Christ's kingdom. We try to give them Christ's kingdom to show them that they're apart from it. To try to wake them up to their danger. That their master has got them deceived. He's put rose-colored glasses on to where everything they see just looks wonderful. And so they don't care about the danger they're in. And we're trying to shine light through those dark glasses. We're trying to shine the light so that men can see the truth. Our message is to turn from the kingdom of this world and get into the kingdom of heaven. To love your enemies, to do good to them to hate you. Not to get involved in the governments and the kingdoms, whether it's in churches or whether it's in governments. We don't belong in those systems. We walk as pilgrims and strangers in this world. Not just different kinds of government, different kinds of churches. We walk as children of light. To whom you yield yourselves, members to obey, that's your master. May the Lord add His blessings to His Word. Anyone have anything you'd like to?
That thought about the advocate is pretty interesting to think about it. How true. God, when He created man, created him with His image on mankind. You know, God is good to all things. He never intended to not be good and have to prove to men, hey, you know, I really am good. He just was good. I mean,
Amen.
Whether man was good or not, he was going to be good to man. Man didn't have to sin to prove God's goodness. God was just good. When man sinned, it was like, well, when God created man, he was just also supposed to just be good to his fellow men. And if a man would stumble against that man, if he was living out the character of God, he would be good to that guy who happened to not be good. The result would be that hopefully that man would be corrected and be good. You know, it's very simple. But when man started following Satan, you know, God promised Abraham, in the fullness of time, I'm going to bless the world again through this promise that all would have the truth. And Jesus comes and says that he's an advocate with God. Like an advocate in the city. You might have an advocate like a community advocate who's saying, there's an organization here that wants you guys to know that this is an option for you. And they have an advocate that goes out and says, hey, this is the information. And it's like that with Jesus. He's like, hey, the kingdom of God is within you. Do what's right. It's good to love your neighbor. It's good to love your enemy. Give to those who ask. And instead of this idea that Jesus and God the Father are just back and forth, that Jesus is just promoting what God has already put into
his heart.
And that's the kind of advocate he is. It's not this lawyer versus the judge or the other lawyer. It's more like Jesus is fighting the other bad advocates that are saying, oh, kill your enemy. Go to war. Show that guy. Divorce her. She's his bastard. That's the other advocate for Satan's kingdom. And,
Amen.
And it's a different, it's a completely different concept. It's a real blessing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
One verse that stood out to me just real clear was, but ye have obeyed from the heart and form of doctrine which was delivered.
Amen.
So if we could just find out what form of doctrine specifically Jesus delivered to us and obey it from the heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Something that's pure to appease,
The same. Exactly. Amen. Well, anyone else have anything? Father, we come before you again and thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, help us, Father, to see this message clearly and be able to portray it to others. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.